So this morning, just kind of want to open up. You know, we have these 4 weeks planned. I'll be honest, we might extend it into 5, 6, 7 weeks. We'll see what the Lord does. Because these 4 weeks, yes, we have this plan, but I can't give you all the information that there is about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So he has been around since the beginning, before time was even time. And so if you and I were to sit down and you wanted to get to know my wife, Angela, who I've been married to for 17 and a half-ish years, and I've known her for 18, so now these last several months, it's been like, okay, our relationship could vote in the United States. Our relationship is a legal adult now. And I'm like, okay, I am now starting to get old. But if you and I were to sit down and we would have a 1 hour conversation for the next 4 weeks, 1 hour a week, I couldn't begin to give you all of my information on who my wife is. The individuality of her, the uniqueness, her desires, her passions, her strengths, her weaknesses, the things that I love about her, the things that I love about her. And so if I have known her for just 18 years, and I can't begin to give you the full depth of who she is in 4 hours, how can we also in 4 weeks of 4 hours talk about all that the Holy Spirit is? And so we're going to touch on the tip of the iceberg. I want to encourage you to do your own study, to dive in, to get to know the Holy Spirit. Also want to quickly, I made a note. We have the pens for our guests and for you folks, but we also have new coffee cups. So Matthew, we have a new coffee cup in the back for you. The rest of you, more cups are coming next week. So if you want that coffee cup, you'll be able to purchase it next week. So free coffee cups for the guests, purchased coffee cups for the rest of us. Because I know some of you love bringing a cup of coffee and having it at your workstation. So we will have those available for you next week, and some water bottles. They were supposed to be here already, but there'll be some water bottles. Because, you know, it's amazing. Like, all of a sudden, we went from a light jacket weather to I'm wearing shorts and t-shirts, right? Yes. And it's like, where's my water at? I now need water. You know, it used to be the coffee cup because you're cold. Now it's the water bottle because you're hot. So we will have some water bottles available next week to purchase as well. So again, going back to the Holy Spirit. So our questions today is, who is the Holy Spirit? Well, he is God. He is God. In Genesis 1:2, it says, "Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." This is the first instance where we see God himself in the picture. God's always been there, but this is the first recorded instance, God's Spirit. So the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, as we call him, or previously when I was a young lad, it was the Holy Ghost. That's how we referred it. And yes, you always had to say the Holy Ghost. You had to add the "ghost" onto it. It was not the Holy Ghost, it's the Holy Ghost. Some of you understand. But we see that the Holy Spirit is the personal presence of God. So it's not God is separate, Jesus is separate, the Holy Spirit is separate, three different individuals. Yes, we have God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, three, but also one. I spent several weeks in Bible college. We tried to come up with a metaphor or an image for how is God three in one. Well, we could go, oh, he's an orange. You got the skin on the outside that you peel off. Maybe that's God the Father. Then you have the inside, the flesh that you eat, Jesus. And then some, you have the seeds inside, the Holy Spirit. But then my professor go, yeah, that's good, but no. Because it's God is three distinct individuals, but yet also one. And we can't really come up in our humanity with an image for that. So we just It's one of those ununderstandable parts. So we have to realize that God, the Holy Spirit, is God. And he's the Holy Spirit. As we do a deep dive into the scriptures and looking at the words, the Hebrew word for spirit is ruach. And someone, a commentator said, you have to sound like you're kind of spitting out as you say it, ruach. And so I'm probably saying it wrong, but I just thought that was funny. You know, like Holy Ghost, ruach. But this word ruach, recall, refers to a number of things, but one thing each of these ideas and definitions have in common is energy. So as we think through the spirits being energy, think, okay, let's step back a little bit. Let's try to put into human context some understanding and ideas. How many of you see the wind? Nobody sees the wind. That's good. But can we see the effects of the wind? Yes. I mean, yesterday for me, there was a lot of wind going on at my house. How did I know? Oh, I saw the trees going like this. Whoosh, whoosh. I heard some branches going crack whoosh, and coming down because the wind was so strong. But then you also hear the evidence of the wind. Whoosh, right? It's the energy. It's the wind is invisible, but we know the effects. We know that the wind is there because we see what the wind is doing, or we hear the wind. We see the wind blowing clouds or moving the trees. It's the same idea, the energy being expanded, the ruach. Then for us as individuals, how many of you have seen your breath before? You've seen the breath, or you've seen the condensation that's in your breath. We can't see our breath, but we know that we have breath. Everybody take a deep breath with me. What does the breath do? When we inhale the breath, you know, if my wife was in here, I could have her give some scientific conversation about what the breath does and how the oxygen comes into our bodies and the oxygen goes into our lungs and into all those little parts of the lungs and somehow gets into our blood system and it brings energy, it brings life to us, right? Our breath, as we breathe in the air, we receive energy. Again, recall. Just as the wind and breath are invisible and powerful, God's spirit is also invisible, but yet powerful. He also keeps us alive like our breath. In Genesis chapter 2, we read how God breathed the breath of life. The same word, ruach, is used there, that the Holy Spirit, the breath of life, was breathed into man. So we see that the Holy Spirit is God. He is a person. He is part of the Trinity, God the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Yet there is no ranking. The Holy Spirit is not less than God the Father. It's not God the Father, Jesus, and then the Holy Spirit, or Jesus and God the Father, then the Holy Spirit. They're all equal and one. So why? Why do we have the Holy Spirit? What is the purpose and intention of the Holy Spirit? Well, we read here in John 16:7, it says, "But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you." So these are the words of Jesus. He's talking to his disciples. This is before his death on the cross. This is all before that. He's foreshadowing or foretelling what is going to be taking place. Guys, get ready. I'm going to be going away. Folks, hang on. Just so you know, I'm going to be leaving. How many of you as adults with kids, you're like, man, I just want to get away and I need someone to come watch my kids for me so I can just get away? One, I got my hand up. I'd put both my hands up if I could. I just got to get away. I want to fly away. But like for us, when we go visit my parents in the States, we get to hang out with them. We have a little bit of this Jesus thing going on. Hey, kids, we have to go away. But I have someone that's coming for you. It's not the Grim Reaper, it's your Oma and Papa. Your grandparents are coming. I haven't, yes, they are your advocates. They will go to us on your behalf. They will give you what you want. It's not the Holy Spirit, but it's the same idea. Jesus said, you know what? It's better for me, or better for you, that I go away. My kids would probably say, yes, Dad, I agree. It's better for us that you go away and we have Grandma and Grandpa. You know, because our kids love our grandparents, right? It's the way it should be. They should be in love with them. Jesus was sent to earth to live like us, to live as a human. But yet he could not be everywhere at once. We read that he walked to and from town to town, village to village. Maybe if Jesus were with us today, he might have his own private jet. I don't know if he would do that. Maybe he'd have his own private donkey that would go really fast. I don't know. But if Jesus were with us today, would he be able to be with us here this morning? Maybe. But maybe his schedule wouldn't allow it. Imagine if Jesus were with us today and Jesus decided, hey, you know what? I'm going to stay put and I'm going to allow everyone else to come to me. So imagine that we all go, okay, hey, church, together, we're going to make a trek down to see Jesus. Say he's residing in Jerusalem. So we'd all have to go down there to see Jesus. Imagine if we get 60 seconds with Jesus. 60 seconds, 1 minute. Now, Jesus being a human just like us, would Jesus need to eat? Yes. Would Jesus need some time to sleep? Yes. Would Jesus need some time to use the facility? Yes. So say Jesus was a man of great grit and patience and endurance, and he could meet with people for 14 hours a day. That leaves 10 hours for the sleeping, the eating, the restroom, and taking a break. If Jesus were to meet with people for 60 seconds, 1 minute, 14 hours a day, he would be able to meet with 840 people a day. It would take 1,190 days to meet 1 million people, or 3 years and 3 months with no days off. 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Now, how many of you would enjoy meeting Jesus for 60 seconds? I know I would, but how many of you had enjoyed meeting Jesus for 60 seconds and that's all you ever get with him? No. That's why Jesus said in John 16, very truly I tell you, it is good for you that I am going away. It's good for you. This is the best course of action, that I go away. The reality is Jesus is not with us, but we have the gift that he and the Father sent to us in the Holy Spirit. Jesus left the earth and he is at the right hand of the Father. He's preparing a place for us. We read in Acts 7:56, when Stephen, the apostle, was being stoned to death, in a moment of glory, he saw the heavens open up and he saw God the Father and Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. So we know that Jesus is not with us, but he's given us the Holy Spirit. It is good for us that Jesus is not with us, because we have the Holy Spirit. When you and I enter into a relationship with him, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and lives with us on a permanent basis. He is inside of us. He is a part of who we are. A.W. Tozer said this from his book, A Treasury of A.W. Tozer, says, the Holy Spirit is not enthusiasm. He is a person. Put that down in capital letters, that the Holy Spirit is not only a being having another mode of existence, but he himself is a person with all the qualities and powers of personality. He is not matter, but he is subsistence. The Holy Spirit has will and intelligence and feeling and knowledge and sympathy and the ability to love and see and think and hear and speak and desire the same as any other person has. That is who the Holy Spirit is. Not just some mystical thing, some mystical lofty creature or mythology, but he is a real individual that is a part of your life and my life. We get these ideas, we have this foundation from these scriptures that I've listed up here as well. Isaiah 63:10, Matthew 12:31, Acts 7:51, Ephesians 4:30, Hebrews 10:29. I encourage you, take a picture of this, do some study, understand the Holy Spirit for yourself, not just taking my word for it. So the Holy Spirit is a real person for you and I. Can't see him, but we know the wind is real because we see the effects of the wind. And I know the Holy Spirit is real because I see the effects of the Holy Spirit in my life and in others' lives. So there's some things that the Holy Spirit does for us. I'll just touch on a few of them. The Holy Spirit was sent to be our helper. He is with each believer, and he's with us always. John 14:16 says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you, to be with you forever." That word advocate that we in the NIV is, it's the word advocate, but the Greek, when John was writing this, he wrote it in Greek, it's parakletos, meaning one who defends, maintains a cause, supports, or promotes. The Holy Spirit is with us. He is our advocate in this life. He is supporting us. He is defending us against the enemy that is real inside of our lives. The word says that the enemy seeks to steal, kill, and destroy us. Satan, we have a real adversary in this life. We're talking about the Holy Spirit is real, so we also have to acknowledge the enemy is real and is trying to attack us and to bring us down or to delay us or not allow us, get us to not step into the destiny and purpose that God has for us. Because there's nothing better for the enemy than to have a lukewarm Christian, someone that loves Jesus and will get to heaven but is not bringing anybody with. Yes, the Satan is pissed off or mad, whatever, upset, angry that we have come to know Jesus, but he's at least willing to let us be with Jesus and not bring anybody else with us. So we have the Holy Spirit trying to encourage us and empower us and prod us along. Love others, share with others. Last week we had YWAM here. Carly talked about we have that purpose and mission to bring others to Jesus. Our idea for Stockholm Community Church, just like many other churches around the world, we are existing to make heaven more crowded. It's not like we have a Volvo XC90, only 7 seats, and that's all we can bring. We have bus after bus after train. We have unending seats that we as a church should long to fill up to bring people to get to know Jesus. Go and make disciples, Matthew 28 said, out of all nations. So we have this advocate. We have the Holy Spirit trying to help us to defend and to get out of our mediocrity, to help us to maintain that cause, that passion, that desire, that flair to love Jesus and to get others to love him. He supports us and helps encourage us. You know what, Brandon, you made some mistakes today, but you are not a mistake. Your failures, your mistakes will not define you. You are a great man of God. Some of the things that he says to me, I don't know, what does he say to you? How does he support you? How does he promote you? How does he help you maintain your cause, your desire, your passion, your love for Jesus? Later on, 10 verses later there in John 14, Jesus said, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." Church, the Holy Spirit does not stop working. The Holy Spirit does not take a vacation. The Holy Spirit does not have a 5-day work week, 9 to 5, 40 hours a week. The Holy Spirit is constantly working on our behalf, for us to help to know and understand who God is. The Bible says that we should be devouring the words of God, that we should hide his word in our heart to help us to fight the temptations in our life. Who's the one that recalls that? That's the Holy Spirit that recalls things. The children's movie Pinocchio used the conscious as Jiminy Cricket, the little grasshopper, to help Pinocchio navigate his life. Hey, you shouldn't make this choice. You shouldn't make that choice. Oftentimes, people think the Holy Spirit is like that little grasshopper, Jiminy Cricket. But he's not. He is that voice that we have inside of us, encouraging us to do the right things, encouraging us, hey, share your love. Share my love with your coworker. Hey, you talk to your daughter in a harsh way, Brandon. Let's correct that. Go ask for forgiveness. Oh, but she really burns my britches. No. Yes, do it. We have the Holy Spirit to help us. He, as Jesus said, he will teach us all things. So we should be learners of the Holy Spirit. We should be in school a lot, all the time. God, teach me, help me to understand who you are. Diving into the word as we read the Bible on a daily basis, we should be saying, Holy Spirit, speak to me. Help me understand what I read today. I mean, for me, my Bible app, when I use my Bible app, you know, I have highlights. Sometimes it's just different colors because I try to choose one color for a year. And so you just see like this rainbow in my Bible. Because even though I read the same verse year after year, sometimes things come to me on a different scale, a different level. Because the word of God, as Hebrews says, is alive and active. So it's not just a stale book. But we can read it day after day, month after month, year after year, and new truths will be revealed because there's so much to who God is. Just like there's so much to my wife that I've... But yet I'm still discovering more after 18 years. We have a lifetime of learning ahead with the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38 says this, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He is for us. He is ours, our gift, a gift that God has given to us. Church, this morning, we're going to take some time to receive that gift if you have not done that. So as we look forward and look ahead, just some quick scriptures. Romans 5:5, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. First Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you and whom you have received? You are not your own. 2 Timothy, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. So we have this Holy Spirit with us. So my takeaways for you today, 3 things we must learn to recognize. 1, he is with us. 1 Corinthians 3:16. The Holy Spirit is with each one of us that have accepted Jesus Christ into our hearts. We must also learn to recognize his voice. John 16:13-16. I encourage you, read these today. And we also must learn to recognize his leading in our life. John 14:26. We read that earlier in John 16:13. The Holy Spirit is for us and with us. And as John Newton said, is it really true that which the early church was so dependent on, the leadership of the Spirit is irrelevant for us today? Church, the reason why we're talking about this is because to us, to the leadership, the Holy Spirit is important. The baptism in the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, to be able to be led by the Spirit is vitally important, not just for our church, but for you as an individual. So this morning, we want to provide an opportunity for those of you to just take some time. Worship team, if you guys can come up, they're going to sing the song that was in the little video. But we're going to take a few minutes, and we're just going to invite the Holy Spirit into our lives. This, as we sing the song, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. don't just say it for the church as a whole, but say, Holy Spirit, fill me. Flood my atmosphere. Overwhelm me, because I want to know you more. That's our desire. That's what we want for this church. It's for our entire church to know and understand the Holy Spirit and allow Him to work in and through us. So this morning, I want to encourage you. We're going to take several minutes before we go out and have our fika time. I want to encourage you to stand. I want to encourage you to kneel at your chair. I want to encourage you to come up here and just pray and say, God, I want you. Let's move out of our comfortable places and do something a little uncomfortable in this moment for ourselves. Just say, God, I'm going to be vulnerable. I want more of you. So let's do that this morning.